So the people are letting you down, LZ. They're picking Adam Ant.
Oh, my God.
You're not here for Adam Ant, are you?
No, I'm not here for Adam Ant. I'm so confused. I don't know why he's leading the polls. Roz keeps saying America. I don't think this is America. I think this is Chinese or Russian hacking. What you're seeing is a hacking of our account. Adam Ant got 47% of the vote, followed by Falco at 30, and poor Jermaine Stewart with his bad philosophy of leaving your clothes on and drinking bad wine. He's at 23%.
You know, I lied. I thought I only knew the one Adam Ant song from earlier. I know this too. Maybe I should go to his concert instead of Falco. I know this too.
With Falco, you guys are only going to have one song. With Jermaine Stewart concert, you're only going to have one song. Adam Ant will leave you dancing for a good 30 minutes now. Ooh, he got some hits.
Is this him singing?
Yeah.
No, dog, this is awful. I would much rather see an 85-year-old Billy Idol try to rock the cradle of love as opposed to Adam Ant out there.
I forgot about that one. That was good.
Well, he wasn't part of the poll, so we have to stick to these type of, because Billy Idol would have been an easy answer. So I made it a little more difficult for you. But America has spoken. No, Thank you, America.
America, you've messed up more than one election, and this is another one.
Well,
not saying any specific ones. We've seen,
All right. As promised, we are joined right now by an all-pro guard for the Los Angeles Chargers, Trey Turner, joining us here on The Morning Show. Trey, good morning. How you been?
Good morning. Top of the morning to you guys. All is well. How y'all doing?
Good, good, good. What's up, New Orleans? What's up, New Orleans? Are you guys going to actually be able to have a complete season with no interruption, or are you in the camp that believes you may start on time, but you won't finish on time?
You know, I don't really know. I'm trying to stay positively optimistic right now. I just hope that everyone, you know, reports to camp is not too many people sick and a lot of people don't get sick, you know.
Trey, what's it going to be like if, in fact, there are no exhibition games, that there are no preseason games and you just hit the ground running for that first game? Will the play suffer, or is it going to be NFL football as we know it?
I mean, you know, I think it's definitely a learning curve. You know, you have to have an adjustment period at some point in time, but I think a little quicker practice may be a little, you know, more strenuous than it usually is, and I just think you have to be on your P's and Q's a little more because, you know, you don't have those tune-up games, you know.
On March 4th, you get traded to the Chargers, and less than a week later, there's no sports. Did you think that we would still be having this conversation at this point of the year in July after sports stopped in March?
No, not at all. I thought this would have kind of passed by now. I thought we would have been, you know, on to something new than the next situation in America. So it's a little crazy that we're still dealing with this right now.
Trey Turner joining us here on The Morning Show. Trey, like LZ mentioned a second ago, you're coming to the Chargers after spending the first part of your career in Carolina. Kind of put the two things together, that it's been shut down. You really haven't been able to do any meetings with your teammates other than virtual teammates. How big of a challenge is it for you personally coming into an environment where you've never been before, as opposed to if you were going back to Carolina, a place that you were very familiar with?
Very different. I think toughest thing will have to get to know teammates, you know, because you know how you have to gel with people, you have to get to know people's personalities and vice versa. So that's probably been one of the toughest things. I've been able to see people, like you said, on Zoom meetings and, you know, have conversations, but never really in person. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, I guess how I gel and how I fit into the room that I'm in. But I'm a pretty open guy, pretty cool, so I think it's going to all work out.
You have played for Ron, who's highly respected in the league. You're now getting ready to play for Coach Anthony Land, who's also highly respected. But these are two of but a handful of minority head coaches in this league. With everything that's going on in terms of conversations with racial equality and obviously the NFL getting involved because of Kaepernick, do you think that's going to continue, in which there'll just be but a handful of, I think this moment will also impact the way the NFL goes about hiring head coaches?
That's a good question. I don't know, man. I feel like in the times that we're in, you just have to take it day by day. I feel like the NFL is somewhat making progress with the stances on inequalities, and not just in the world, but just in the NFL itself. But, you know, to look forward and to get into a head coach aspect, I wouldn't really know. I just hope that we keep working to allow players to voice the opinions about the injustices, and for the NFL to have the support and have the back of the players for the way that we feel about it.
Trey Turner joining us here on The Morning Show. Trey, let's do this. Let's reconnect on the phone line. We're having a little bit of a hard time hearing you clearly. So I'm going to have Jorge jump on with you. We're going to try to reconnect and get a little bit more of a clean line. And LZ, I think that's a great question that you just asked him. And I guess we'll just have to see, right? That we can guess, we can try to prognosticate and forecast what it's going to look like moving forward for coaches in this league. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see if this moment in time actually changes things, and we see more guys like Anthony Lynn and Ron Rivera in head coaching positions.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Travis, you guys know me, and you know my writing, and you know I get teased a lot for being so militant about this, but it's the truth. The proof is in the pudding, man. And you can have all the pretty statements and do all the cute videos, and you can do all of that. But Kaepernick did not get an opportunity yet to get in the league. And the head coaching situation is what it is, as well as the team president. And so I'm going to just need to see some results. I'm going to need to see some true action. Having Roger Goodell wear a Mr. Rogers sweater and give like a little you know, video on Black Lives Matter, when we all sitting up here saying, man, you didn't even say Kaepernick's name. How can we take you seriously? So I'm still in a wait and see when it comes to the NFL. Wait and see. You know, there's a part of me that feels like they're trying to just ride this wave out and hopefully that it dies down.
Trey Turner is joining us again. Trey, how do you sound right now? You got a better connection?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Much, much better. Have you talked about what we were just talking about there a second ago with your teammates? Is there any sort of organized protest or symbolism that you and your teammates are going to take when the season starts?
I hadn't even had that conversation. I think right now the conversation has kind of shifted towards safety and, you know, the protocols with the coronavirus going on right now. So, like I said, when you're dealing with one thing, some turn around and you're dealing with something else. So I think right now everyone is concerned about the safety and the protocols for the season.
What can you tell us about your opinion of Cam in New England? Now, we can't wait for the memes to pop ourselves. Like, we're expecting Bill Belichick to rock a silk scarf in the whole nine. What do you expect?
I think Cam is going to do great. I know he's a football player on a football team, so I know he can't wait to get out there and go and showcase, you know, everything he's been working toward, and, you know, able to put some of his doubters, you know, put them on mute.
Are you satisfied with the plan? Go ahead, LZ.
Well, I just wanted to ask him, do you feel like the Panthers screwed him over?
I definitely feel like he could have been more respect, but, you know, in this game, you know, just take it for what it is. When your time is up and your tenure is done somewhere, then that's just what it is. You know, you can't always expect to get roses while you can smell them.
Trey Turner joining us, Chargers guard, here on The Morning Show. Are you satisfied with the testing protocol that the NFL has proposed as far as once you first start to enter the facility and then the numbers thereafter?
So I'm not fully aware of the new testing. We have a NFLPA call today. We have them every Tuesday and every Friday. So it's going to be interesting to see what we hear from the PA. I've seen on Twitter about the testing for the 2-week period and then see what happens after that. I just feel like the safest way for us to stay safe is to test daily. You know, I feel like when you're dealing with so many different components and the components being so many different people that you have to test frequently. I just feel like that's the safest measure that we could take.
Are you at all concerned that the NFL is not going to be able to get it right? The NBA got it right with the bubble. You have no bubble. Your sport is highly contact oriented. Are you concerned about whether or not this league can protect his players?
I definitely have my reservations about it. I mean, it's me that's going to be out there, you know what I'm saying? And bringing a sickness to other people is one of my biggest concerns. And it's easy to say, okay, well, just, you know, don't be around anybody. But, it's hard to not be around your family when you have to come home every day. It's not like we have a bubble or whatnot. And realistically, we can't fit that many people into a bubble. So I definitely do have my reservations, man. I'm just trying to stay positively optimistic about it. That's what I've been telling myself.
Chargers guard Trey Turner joining us here on The Morning Show. You can see Trey on Twitter at Trey_Turner. Trey, appreciate you coming on with us this morning. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, man. You have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
You too,
brother.
Yeah, he's in a really unique spot because he's a really good football player. We're talking about multiple-time Pro Bowl player. But he's on a new team in a situation where he has not been able to be with any of his teammates in a real situation. It's all done virtually, learning a new system. And, oh, by the way, he's an offensive lineman. They're not even entirely sure who their quarterback's going to be. You've got Tyrod Taylor as an option. You got the 6th overall pick, Justin Herbert, as an option. I know the Chargers have some expectations, but Trey Turner dropping into this, that is a tough putt because he's just coming in absolutely blind and hasn't had any runway to get used to it.
No, he hasn't. But I believe in Coach Lynn and his coaching staff. And when you've been to the Pro Bowl as many times as he has, you kind of have a good foundation. There's only so much you're supposed to be doing. So I'm going to assume that if you have a good foundation as a fundamentally sound player at your position, figuring out the plays is the only thing you have to worry about. In other words, they don't have to worry about fixing his technique. They don't have to worry about making sure that he can see things at a proper time to help the football team. That's what happens when you've been to the Pro Bowl that many times. It's not just about having a great season. When you've gone 5 times like he has, that means you're just a great, smart player too.
I get that, and I the fundamentals will be key because, I mean, if you know how to play football, you know how to play football. And like to your point, there's only so many variables on how to do this. But what makes a good player a great player and what makes a good team a great team are those subtleties, are the rhythm that you know, on the offensive line in particular, that you and I can communicate without actually really having to communicate because we spend a lot of time around another. If you had an offensive line that has that, you have an advantage as to, you know, we see it happen all the time. When all of a sudden you slide a new guy in because of an injury and he isn't part of that everyday rhythm, it takes a minute. Now, his timeline will probably get sped up because he's just that good of a player. But there's going to be some lag between when he's just a great player and now when he's able to become one of those guys that fits into that offensive line seamlessly. That takes some time.
It will, but he's 27. He's been to 5 Pro Bowls.
Yeah, he's good.
This is an outstanding. he's good, yeah. And he's smart. You don't go to 5 straight Pro Bowls that young if you're not smart. He's going to be just fine.
LZ, I like that you said to me during one of the breaks that I get 3 choices. I'm excited to know what my choices are. They're coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Travis Rogers, what is the date today? What is the date
July
today? 20,
July 21.
July 21. I'm going to present you, my friend, 3 pop culture moments that all happened July 21st. Not the same year, but the same date, July 21st. And I want you to decide which of these 3 moments had the most lasting effect, right?
Okay.
On himself or the culture?
Just on the culture, just period. Like just,
okay.
When you think about it, you're like, okay, this is the moment. July 21st, 1989, Do the Right Thing was released in theaters. Easily one of Spike Lee's most popular films, but maybe more importantly, it gave the world one of the most iconic protest songs in Fight the Power.
Mm-hmm.
July 21st, 1987, Guns N' Roses releases Appetite for Destruction.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
Before thank you for not playing Welcome to the Jungle, by the way, Jorge. Appreciate that.
He doesn't get it. If he would have got the bad, yeah, he didn't get it, but or else he would have.
Bad memories. PTSD. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then the last one, July 21st, 1987, the Who's That Girl soundtrack was released.
What?
For some reason, I could see a junior high Travis Rogers dancing to this song in the bathroom, getting ready for school. Am I off?
Yes, you are. So see, not only am I self-conscious dancing in front of other people, I'm self-conscious dancing alone. That's how bad of a dancer I am. So I'm that last one is off the list for me. No, that is it's down to the other two.
I don't know how that made the list.
It was July 21st, 1987. Shut up.
And Raj, Adam, asked the question at the beginning. This is kind of interesting. Like, which had a greater impact on me or is different than what might have had a greater impact on the culture at large? Because to me, it was the GNR, Appetite for Destruction. There had been metal. There had been some things like that, but I'd never really heard anything like that. And when you heard it for the first time, you're like, what in the world is that? And it hit me exactly right. 1987, I was a sophomore in high school. So it was just the perfect thing at the perfect time for me. Culturally across the country, and especially, at least for me, it was the first time that you became super aware of Spike Lee with Do the Right Thing, and I enjoyed the movie a great deal, but I'd have to go with GNR.
Yes. Well, Travis, so you're going to go with Do the Right Thing? Is that what you're saying?
No.
No.
Or are you going Guns with and Appetite Roses.
Appetite for Destruction,
about the country
narrowly.
And Spike Lee. I was like, oh, I think he's going to go with Spike Lee. But no, you chose a General Lee. That's very good. Very, very good.
I don't know if Axl Rose, maybe he is. I really don't know Axl's politics.
No, actually, Axl Rose, if you follow Axl Rose on Twitter, you would actually mistake him for Retro Maddo. He is way more liberal and fired up, ready to go than you would ever would have imagined. I would have gotten that one wrong.
Would you choose Do the Right Thing? Is that the choice for you amongst those three?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely would Do the Right Thing. Because as I said before, if for no other reason, it released one of the greatest revolutionary songs in the history of just pop music. So now that you have made your choice, it's going to go up against this choice that happened July 21st, 1983. Jorge?
Ooh.
Princess
can't
Leia.
Can't beat the Force, man.
Darth Vader all appeared on the cover of Rolling Stone. And Princess Leia is wearing her Jabba the Hutt I'm Captured on the cover of Rolling Stone. So, now that you made the choice and you've gone with Appetite for Destruction, do you have an Appetite for Destruction or an Appetite for Princess Leia?
Oh, look, this is a no-brainer for me. This is I'm a Star Wars nerd. I loved those movies as a kid. I tolerate the newer ones because it just, you know, I'm out of the sweet spot with those movies, right? Those are more for kids and stuff. I've seen every last one of them and have enjoyed them. But we're talking 83 is probably what, Return of the Jedi, right? So the Jabba the Hutt bikini, I'm going to pick that over just about anything else. That was a very... 83, I was in seventh grade, sixth grade, something like that. So, yeah, that was a pretty big moment for young Travis, seeing that bikini in that movie. My favorite movies. And she, by the way, a little sneaky in that movie, too. I didn't know that was happening until that scene. Like, oh, okay, cool. I like these movies even more now. This is great.
That's funny because I kept wondering, how come Jabba didn't capture Luke? The hell?
Yeah. Well, you know, different strokes. Yeah. That's a different movie for a different crowd. You know how it goes.
That's a different movie.
Of all three of those things, the other Who's That Girl one, I'm scratching that off the list. I'm gonna pretend that was never an option. But of the Guns N' Roses and the Star Wars and the Dude, all three of those, I mean, all of those are over 30 years old, right? You still hear Guns N' Roses. Mm-hmm. You still hear that music. Do the Right Thing still gets mentioned a lot. We still see clips from that movie. And then, of course, Star Wars is still ubiquitous. It's everywhere all the time. That's a pretty good date in history, July 21st, to have three things that have lasted for 30 going on 40 years at this point.
Are you just going to gloss right over Madonna? Did you just do that? You did. You can't just gloss right over her.
What did I skip?
Remind me the next time we have a going away dinner for Keyshawn to throw my drink at you.
I'll come. Just tell me you're going to do it. I'll have my mouth open. I'll catch it. I'll catch it that way. Man, hey, Madonna. Yeah, at the risk of offending you further, Madonna is not in my wheelhouse.
Depends on what community.
No, I understand. Be careful. I understand what we're talking about. But even back in the '80s, it's like, nah, not really, not really.
All right, I got one last one for you then.
All right.
None of you made the choice for Princess Leia. This is like password. You keep building clues. Pac-Man was released on this date as well.
Really?
Yeah.
What year?
No, it had to be Pac-Man. It had to be Pac-Man 3 or Pac-Man the Baby.
It's Miss Pac-Man. Right, like it's Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah. Miss Pac-Man. Okay.
It's Miss Pac-Man. It's Miss Pac-Man. I'm sorry, it was in Spanish. It's taking me a minute to translate this.
Well, you got to get Doug Glanville back on.
I'm not going to lie. It did send it in Spanish, Elsie. My bad.
Yeah, he sent it in Spanish. He didn't think I knew Spanish. I do. It just takes me a long time to kind of get it fired up.
But 39 years ago, it says 39 years ago today, Mrs. Pac-Man came out. So that was interesting.
Yeah. They just put a bow on her head. That really wasn't that exciting.
No, it's different because it changed. The maps changed every time you got past it. Pac-Man stayed the same.
Right.
Miss Pac-Man had different maps
anytime
you cleared it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that part. I just thought she had a bow.
Look at Rob.com.
You don't even pay attention.
Yeah, go to Rob.com.
You're a sexist pig trap. She fixed her hair and you didn't even notice. Wow. I wasn't paying attention. Wow.
I wasn't.
Poor Susan.
I wasn't.
Poor Susan.
Miss Pac-Man and Madonna were not super on the road. I'll dork out with Star Wars with the best of them, but the video games, what are you going to do?
You're not even dorking out on Star Wars. You're just dorking out on Princess Leia. You don't fool me. Star Wars, you wouldn't know anything about the battles.
If Susan Sarandon was in it, I would have known that. That's for sure. That's why I saw Rocky Horror Picture Show. We all have our lanes, LZ.
There
we
got to
do what we got to do. All right. Magic has made his picks for the NBA Awards. We'll see what he says, and we'll see if he got it right. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right. So we know that the final eight games in the NBA bubble are not going to count towards the MVP or any of the postseason awards, which means that I guess – we can cast our votes, right? If none of this stuff is going to matter over the next couple of weeks, then we can make our selections. Magic made his selections. Magic Johnson. Let's start right here, OZ. He has Brandon Ingram as the most improved player in the NBA. And I think in this case, Magic is absolutely spot on. I was doing Laker pregame and postgame for a couple of years when Brandon Ingram was just getting started in this league. And it was all potential. It was all what if. It was all when he figures it out. It was all when he puts on some weight. When this, when that, when that. And you'd get little pockets of it here and there, but it was terribly inconsistent. This year, Brandon Ingram was just a damn good NBA player, period.
Yeah, and I'm happy for him. You know, we knew he was talented. His youth, remember, he was very young when he came in the league and his body hadn't developed, and more importantly, his mind hadn't developed. And then with LeBron James, you know, LeBron's the best player in the world. He's going to get your minutes. You're going to have to fit in with him. And because of that, that hampered Brandon's development. Now he's on an awful team, and he gets to figure it out. And so far, so good. First All-Star appearance. I'm happy for him. And to your point, Travis, when we first started to see Brandon, we didn't know if he was going to fulfill the promise of being the second overall pick. Clearly, he has, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah, no, he's been great, and he's going to be around, and he's going to be a problem for a lot of teams for a long time. Coach of the year, according to Magic Johnson, is Memphis Grizzlies head coach Taylor Jenkins, who obviously has done a really good job down there. I know that Billy Donovan is a candidate for keeping that thing running the way he has when he got Chris Paul put on his team, despite really not wanting Chris Paul. I shouldn't say he didn't want to be there. We didn't think Chris Paul would want to be there. So there's a really good case for Taylor Jenkins. But like we talked about a lot yesterday, I just don't know if anybody has had more on their plate and dealt with it more seamlessly than Frank Vogel has.
Yeah, this was a little bit of a head scratcher. Like, I get where Magic's coming from. This is a team that we assume is going to be right back in the lottery. Weren't going to be very good. Remember, Andre Iguodala didn't even bother showing up. He was like, you can trade me. I ain't playing for you. You know, Chris Paul at least played for Oklahoma City. So we weren't expecting anything out of this squad. And the fact that they come into the bubble holding the eighth seed in the West, if you believe that the West is more difficult, then imagine being a rookie on a team that doesn't have a whole lot of recognizable talent, and you're the coach that guides them into the postseason. It's an outstanding job, but it's not outstanding enough for me. I would have preferred either Nick Nurse or obviously Frank Vogel in this category.
Just Frank Vogel, going back to the beginning of all of this, the Lakers were on fire. Magic Johnson publicly was saying that the organization was dysfunctional. They tried to hire other coaches. They saddled him with an assistant coach that he did not get to pick. They go to China and in the middle of an international incident. One of the greatest Lakers of all time is tragically killed in a helicopter crash. The season is shut down in the middle of a pandemic, and he's kept his team rolling through this entire process without a hiccup. I don't know what else you would want from your head coach. Rookie of the year, Ja Morant. We can all check that box and keep it moving.
Yeah. I mean, there was a, like, you know, other things. Zion needed more runway to even think about catching Ja. But the simple fact of the matter is that Ja has been a revelation. And yeah. I'm not even sure if Zion's going to have the better career. That's how good Ja has been out the gate. So, yeah, he's rookie of the year.
Yeah, Zion, we were talking that if the season had played out and Memphis had gotten caught by New Orleans and Zion was the reason they caught him, or at least in large part the reason that they caught him, I think he would have gotten it because the story is a more interesting story. But the second that thing got shut down, that was an easy one for Ja Morant. Defensive player of the year, according to Magic Johnson, none other than Anthony Davis. Good choice, but you got to think that Giannis is probably the front runner for that.
Giannis is definitely going to be the front runner. You know, Anthony Davis's impact on our defense has been tremendous, but so has LeBron James increased, let's just say, attention to defense for longer stretches of the game. Mm-hmm. And so has Dwight Howard's revitalized career. And don't forget JaVale McGee. I mean, this squad leads the league in blocks because it has three guys who are outstanding rim protectors. And I think that's going to cannibalize a little bit of the AD votes. So I'm going to go with Giannis on this. The stats are on our side. The wins and losses are on the side. And the fact is that he truly is the best rim protector they have in that game or their squad.
You know, hearing you run down all the guys right there in the Lakers, and you could throw LeBron in there. You can throw Morris in there as well. I know he's a late addition. Damn, they're big. I mean, they've got a big team.
Big squad. If they really wanted to, man, if they really wanted to, they could make Kuz the two, and they could just roll out just giants. LeBron at the one, Kuz at the two, you know. One of the Morrises, hey, shut up. One of the Morrises at the three. I said, whatever. We already got one. Morris is at the three. And then, you know, Dwight and AD. What are we talking about here? That's just a huge squad.
It's their giant. And then, of course, we got MVP, according to Magic Johnson. And I agree with him right here, although I don't think he's going to get it. He's got LeBron as the most valuable player.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we know what they look like when LeBron's not playing. That's all you really need. When LeBron's not on the floor, look what happens to this squad. And I know a lot of people say that Giannis is MVP because he's doing all these great statistical things in so few minutes. To me, LeBron doesn't have that luxury. He can't play that few of minutes and the team still be that successful. He has to be on the floor. That's an argument, in my opinion, for LeBron, not for Giannis. But at the end of the day, I don't think people are going to see it that way, and they are going to end up giving it to the Greek Freak, which isn't a bad choice.
It's not a bad choice, and I like what you pointed out earlier, which was, you know, LeBron saying, oh, they said I couldn't play in the West. It was in the East. That's why I was doing it. That is a very, very slick way of saying, well, I thought that I had to be over here to win an MVP. I thought that that was the weaker league. And I don't think it was meant to undercut Giannis, just to kind of illustrate the point, like, you guys are trying to have it both ways all over again.
Right. Which goes back to our conversation earlier today about the disrespect that LeBron James faces each and every day from so-called basketball aficionados who would much rather say stupid things like LeBron's not clutch than just admit that a guy they don't like might be the best to ever do it.
So of those five guys that Magic pick, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Ja Morant, Taylor Jenkins, and Brandon Ingram, probably only two of those guys win the award, right? In Ingram and Morant, that the MVP, the Defensive Player of the Year, and the Coach of the Year probably all go other ways.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I'm not even sure if Brandon's going to win, to be quite honest with you, because Bam Adebayo.
He should tour with Falco.
I think he's probably going to end up winning Most Improved Player. So I'm not even sure if Brandon Ingram's got it locked up.
Yeah, one for four for Magic in that case. All right, Sedano is back. He's going to join us for Crosstalk that is coming up next. LZ, I'm looking at my TV in here, and I did a show to Aaron Donald doing one of his workouts. You ever want to feel really bad about yourself? Watch Aaron Donald work out for 30 seconds. My God.
Dude, don't do that to yourself. You need to look at some of the – you need to watch videos from some of the guys that can't get off the bench. Don't look at the best of the best. The best of the best, you would never feel good looking at that. Never.
No. That never. Dude's another planet for sure. Hey, George, how are things?
Hey, guys, how are you? Long time no speak.
I was going to say, welcome back.
Back from vacation. Oh, okay, all right.
I mean, you know, I figured, you know, what the hell? We've got all this time off and sports hadn't started yet. So, you know, now I come back swooping in 2 days before sports starts again. So it's nice.
Nice time. Would you do anything fun? Did you go anywhere?
No. What the hell? We stayed at home. We wore our masks. We were very responsible. That's what we did. We did indulge in a new ice cream flavor because, you know, I love talking food.
Ooh.
It was National Ice Cream Day on Sunday, and we found one, a Ben & Jerry's flavor called Netflix and Chilled. And it is a peanut butter ice cream base with fudge chunks and pretzel swirls in them.
Oh, no, ooh. Man. No. You can't kiss somebody after they ate that. They got to go brush their teeth. They got like all kinds of gunk and stuff in their mouth. You need something smooth like a sorbet.
I was going to say, you want lemon sorbet?
Who the hell? Yeah. Listen, sorbet is what I want after I've done like a nice bike ride. You know what I'm saying? For like 6 or 7 miles. Not when I'm at home hanging out, watching movies. I want indulgence. I want peanut butter ice cream. I want rich stuff. That's what I want in an ice cream at that particular point.
I thought what was going to happen about LZ was the pretzel pieces. I know how you feel about pretzels.
No, it's not pretzel pieces. It doesn't have actual pieces. It's just swirl. So it's the taste of pretzel, which is really just salt.
It's just salt. Then.
Yeah.
It's just, if you're going to say something Netflix and chill, then I'm thinking about the chill part, and I'm trying to think about how can I get to the chill part as quickly as possible. And if you got to brush your teeth because you got a whole bunch of gunk in your mouth, man, I want you to have a sorbet.
No. The pretzel swirl, in theory, is just salt, basically. But the fudge and the peanut butter ice cream is delicious combined with the little salt.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like you.
Travis, did you try? Hold on, Travis. Did you try the potato chips that I sent you? The Trader Joe's ones?
They were great. Yeah, absolutely. They were fantastic. Look, yeah. Again, every time you have fried potatoes, right? You're off to a pretty good start, much like a peanut butter ice cream base. It's really hard to go wrong from that point. But yeah, no, I've not only have I got them, George, I've got them more than once. They're a regular member of the rotation at this point.
Patio chips, Trader Joe's patio chips. By the way, shout out to Trader Joe's for being more socially conscious and no longer calling Hispanic foods Trader Jose's or the Asian food Trader Ming's. Like literally, that's a real story today.
Trader Giotto, you know what? I think, was the Italian food, by the way.
Yeah, Trader Giannato, I believe, was the Italian one. Yeah,
I was just in a store. I think it was 2 days ago, and I was looking for something, and I had to go to the ethnic hair section, and I was like, "What the hell, man? Why are we still doing this ethnic hair section? Like, there's more than one ethnicity." Like, what does this mean? If it's just supposed to be black hair, then just say it. What are you scared of?
Right.
I'd rather you just mix it in with everything else and we'll find it.
Is it locked up anymore? They changed that too, right? It used to be under lock and key, and they're supposed to stop doing that.
Well, you know, we were going to have some marches. Because I'm like, why are the wave brushes behind closed doors, but all the moose and all that stuff, you can just reach out and grab it whatever you want to. Why are all the do-rags behind the counter, but the curlers are out there where anybody can grab them? I'm watching you guys. I see what you're doing, and I don't like it.
Yeah. You know what I'm doing right now, LZ? I got my two fingers, my index finger and my middle finger pointing at my eyes and then pointing right back at someone else.
Exactly. I see you. I see you. Where are the black beans behind safe counters, but all the string bean casserole, you can just reach out and grab it whenever you want. I'm watching you guys.
As long as they don't lock up the salsa and you know, my Spanish Badia spices or something like that, as long as they don't lock those up, LZ, at the grocery store, I'm okay.
Then you'll be okay. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
But how about this? How about we lock up the stuff that's expensive? You know, like I get the $200 bottle of wines back there. The other stuff is just like aggressively racist. Like, oh, this stuff over here, I keep that behind the glass case. It's ridiculous. All right, George, LZ brought up this question the other day. Take a whack at this because you've spent some time around him. Obviously, you've covered him for a long time. Why is LeBron James the only great player who gets butted? And what I mean by that is when we talk about Kareem or Michael Jordan or some of these others, there's no but they're this, that, and the other thing. And there's a long list of butts with LeBron. Why is he the only one?
I don't know if he's the only one, Travis, but he's generally the only one with that kind of resume, right? Like the butts usually come for guys, obviously, without titles, right? You know, I grew up watching one in Dan Marino, who I still think is the greatest pure passer I've ever seen play the game. But he gets butted because he didn't win a championship. You know, guys like Peyton Manning got butted a lot, even though after he had won a championship. And even after he won the second one, people kind of butt him a little bit. Alex Rodriguez, for a number of different reasons, gets butted. But you're right. For a guy whose resume is like LeBron's, okay, who's got three championships, I just think that he's so polarizing because he has been the first to step out in a lot of different ways. He basically created the player empowerment movement, or maybe not created, but he certainly elevated it to a discussion level that we had never seen previously. And then I think the other part of it is he also takes very strong stances since 2012 and Trayvon Martin on social issues. And whether that's politics, in some cases he has campaigned for specific politicians, or specific issues within the social conscious, which people weaponize to make them political when they're not. I think that just drives people, certain people, nuts. And that just kind of creates this schism of sorts between his fans and people who are, quote unquote, not his fans.
You guys think as we get further away from his playing career that once he retires, assuming that ever happens, that, and we're just looking at it as, okay, he put up this amount of championships, he scored this many points, he was the MVP this many times, he played this many seasons, will all of that butting go away?
No. I don't know. No, I don't think so. No. I'm with LZ. I think we just live in an era where people are like that, and we're not putting that genie back in the bottle. You know what I'm saying? But it's funny because LZ, I'll let you go real quick, but like I wrote a story for ESPN.com with, we did a shared story, myself, Ramona Shelburne, Jackie McMullen, Andre Snellings, and Kevin Pelton. And one of the things was asking the question, how should we think about LeBron's place in the NBA's best player conversation? And my thing was, we should just appreciate LeBron while he's still playing at this level. If you look at what he's doing at age 35, guys, there's no true comp. Like, the closest thing you can get is Jordan at 34, which is his last season with the Bulls, but it's still not 35. So I just think that there is a lack of appreciation for him, LZ.
Yeah, of course there is. But you know what? We appreciate him. And sometimes, instead of focusing in on the haters, you need to remind yourself of the love. And he's got a whole lot of love. And he gets another chip for L.A., he's going to have even more love.
Amen. Yep. Amen. George is back. His show is coming up next. LZ and I will see you tomorrow morning at 6.
Sedano Show.
7:10 ESPN.